All right.
Get this here.
Okay, so we're studying the book of Matthew, going through the book of Matthew, looking at Jesus and Him being the King. Behold thy King, that's the theme of the book of Matthew. Matthew sets out to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. So siya ang Messiah ng buong, hindi lang ng Israel, pero He is the Messiah and the King of the entire world. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And so, before we move on to the next section in our book, which is chapter 8, nandun na tayo sa chapter 8, mas mabuting mag-review tayo para alam natin yung pangkahalatang larawan ng book of Matthew. So we know that Matthew wrote the book, and yung pangalang Matthew ay galing sa Hebrew Mathan. At ang ibig sabihin ng Mathan, gift. So financial. There's a financial term, Matthew, gift. And isn't it interesting that Matthew was a treasurer, was a tax collector. Okay? And so, merong mga terms, na financial terms, na unique sa aklat ng Matthew. You'll find three, maybe four Greek words that are strictly in Matthew. And they happen to be financial terms. Sater, the coins, and so on and so forth. So anyway, in the book of Matthew, he sets out to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. Ano ang ibig sabihin ng Messiah? What does Messiah mean? Hinirang, pinili, chosen, anointed. Anong language yung Messiah? Kasi hindi Tagalog yun. Hebrew. Tama. Ano sa Greek yung Messiah? Christos. Tama. Ano yung Christos sa Ingles? Ano yung Christ sa Tagalog? Kristo. So, ang Messiah ay Kristo. It's the same idea. Chosen, anointed, sinugo. And so Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now, Matthew was written around, siguro, mga 45 to 50 AD. So one of the earliest books in the New Testament, written prior to the destruction of the temple. So sa history books, yung mga historians natin dito, anong year isinunog ng Roma ang temple sa Jerusalem? 70 AD. So ibig sabihin, kung babasahin mo, libao, Matthew 24, he talks about the temple or the destruction of the temple. Ibig sabihin, nandun pa yung temple nung sinulat ni Matthew yung kanyang account, yung kanyang evangel, yung kanyang good news. So, Matthew was one of the writers, the earlier writers of the New Testament, and the temple was still around during that time. There are 28 chapters in Matthew, at pwede nating ibahagi ang aklat ng Matthew sa dalawang bahagi, from chapter 1 to chapter 16, verse 20. Ito yung unang section. This would be the person and proclamations. Proclamate plural. Kasi marami siyang mga sinabi. Person and proclamations of Jesus Christ. Okay? Tapos 16, 21 hanggang 28, this is the passion and power of Jesus Christ. So really, ang paksa ni Matthew ay si Jesus Christ. Yung kanyang persona at yung kanyang mga binilin o mga tinuro. Tapos yung kanyang passion, yung kanyang pagkapako sa krus, pag-reject ng tao, pagkapako sa krus, pagkamatay, pagkalibing, muling pagkabuhay, yung kanyang pagbigay sa atin ng final mandate, yung Great Commission, tapos yung kanyang pagbalik sa langit at yung future na inaabangan natin. All of that in the last section over here. So, let's look at, so this would be yung person in Christ from chapter 1 to 4,
napag-aralan natin yan.
Yung kanyang birth, yung genealogy niya, kung paano finulfill niya, yung mga Old Testament passages patungkol sa kanyang panganganak, kung saan siya titira, kung ano ang tatawagin siyang Nazarene, and so on and so forth, all in fulfillment of prophecies in the Old Testament, one after another, after another, after another, in chapters 1 to 4. Then from 5 to 16, ito naman yung kanyang mga proclamations. So ito yung first one, ito yung proclamation. And so, go, for example, to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Tingnan mo, halimbawa, yung Matthew 4, 17. Konting review lang para balik tayo sa, oo nga, ito yung pangkahalatang larawan ng Book of Matthew. Sometimes, if you don't review, baka makalimutan natin, tuloy-tuloy lang tayo, hindi natin nakikita yung overall picture. So, look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach. So, from what time? Well, from the time that John was cast into prison and beheaded. So, pinatay si John the Baptist, doon sumulong ang ministry ni Jesus Christ. So, now, John the Baptist ministered for 6 months. And Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. So, napakaikli lang ng ministry ni John the Baptist. He is a Baptist. The first Baptist is John the Baptist. Ba't siya tinawag Baptist? Kasi siya ang nag-baptize? Oh, si Jesus lang bang binaptize niya? Oh, marami siyang mga believers na binaptize. So, tandaan ninyo, kaya tayo Baptist, naniniwala tayo na ang believer ay kandidato para i-baptize. Hindi natin pwedeng i-baptize ang tao kung wala siyang profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Catholics believe na pwedeng i-baptize ang mga sanggol, mga babies. Dapat i-baptize sila para maligtas yung kaluluwa nila. Dahil nakasalalay sa baptism ang justification or yung pag-aaring ganap ng Diyos sa kaluluwa ng tao. Kaya napaka-importante na i-baptize sa mga sanggol. Question, pwede ba ang sanggol magsisi at sumampalataya? Hindi pwede. So, hindi sila kandidato for baptism. So, sa buong kasaysayan ng Kristyanismo, Catholics say, you can baptize babies. Protestants na lumabas sa Catholic, halimbawa, Lutherans, and Presbyterians, and Anglicans, they came out of Catholicism and they taught that you can baptize babies also for salvation. Kasing bigat din ng Catholic Church. E paano? Nanggaling sila sa Catholic Church. So they are Reform. Catholic Reform. Okay? So, we are biblical Baptists. So, ibig sabihin, we never accept the baptism of infants or of people who have not repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We reject their baptism. That is not valid baptism. And all through sa kasaysayan ng history ng Christian movement, ng Christianity, isa lang ang group na tumayo na nagsabing, ibabaptize lang natin yung mga disciples, yung mga believers. Hindi pwedeng ibaptize yung hindi believers. And so, that is John the Baptist. So, sa kapanahon natin ngayon, maraming mga churches, ayaw na nila na ma-identify sila na Baptist. Ang magandang pangalan sa church, Grace. Grace Fellowship. Mercy. Ang ganda nga naman talaga, no? Mercy. Love. Charity. Oh, yung iba nga, ano? Fellowship. Association. Assembly. Pero Baptist? Hindi pwede. Masyadong sektaryan ang Baptist. Well, merong kabuluhan yung pangalang Baptist kasi saan ang galing yung pangalang Baptist? Sino nagbigay kay John ng pangalan na yon? Yes. God gave John the name, John the Baptist. And so, if you want to maintain biblical integrity and association with the Bible, you need to identify yourself in a biblical Baptist church. So, Jesus was a disciple of John the Baptist. Yes, Jesus is greater than John the Baptist, but he received John's baptism. And so, ano si Jesus? Catholic? Lutheran? Presbyterian? Reformed? Methodist? JW? Mormon? Ano siya? What is he? A Baptist siya. He received John's baptism. And tayo, we received John's baptism. If you are a believer and you were baptized as a believer, you received the baptism of John. That's John's baptism. Now, do we have a line, do we have a historical chart or a line that we can link ourselves with all the Baptist churches down throughout the century? No. We don't have a physical, historical chain link. Wala tayong ganun. Wala tayong document na ganyan. Ang sa atin lang, yung practice na ginagawa natin, nakikita natin sa scriptures, ay yung nakikita natin sa New Testament, ginagaya natin yon. Yon ang link natin. We are linked spiritually, doctrinally, practically through the scriptures when we follow the New Testament church. Okay, so the New Testament church is in fact a biblical Baptist church. And we are practicing biblical Baptist teachings, doctrines, philosophies, and practices. Therefore, we are a biblical church. Even though we don't have a historical document or paper that says that Mount Zion Baptist Mission was started by a church that was constituted Baptist from 19 whenever in Mount Zion Grove, Pennsylvania, which was an assembly formed by Baptists that were connected here, that were connected there, that were connected there. No, we're not interested in that. The New Testament doesn't even have that. Wala. Research. Tingnan mo ang mga churches sa New Testament. Walang concern yung church na sabi, anong church kayo pinanggalingan? Saan church kayo nagsimula? No, that was later developed as in the book of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the later books na na-develop yung relationship of the church amongst each other. Pero sa early, hindi mo na malayan sa Gospels, ang dami pa lang mga churches, nandun yung Betabera, nandun yung Judea, mga churches sa Judea, meron nga sa Samaria, Sychar. Meron pa ng Sychar Baptist Church. There's Galilee Church. Church in Galilee. But they are not concerned with the pedigree or heritage. It's not a... Now, question. Is there a biblical and historical link? Meron bang historical link talaga? Meron. There really is. Now, can we show you that? Can we see it in perfection? No, we can't. So how do we know that there is a historical link? Let me give you an example. How do we know that in every generation since Jesus started the church, how do we know that in every generation there has always been a New Testament biblical Baptist church down throughout the centuries? How do we know? Paano natin alam na merong mga biblical Baptist churches mula pa sa unang church na tinaguyod ni Jesus Christ? Through the promises, through His Word. Kasi pinangako niya dito, I will be with thee till the end of the world. So, unto Him be glory in the church. Ephesians chapter 3. So, all through the scriptures, yung perpetuity or continuation ng mga churches ay magpapatuloy hanggang bumalik si Jesus Christ. Magpapatuloy yun. Now, wala tayong physical na makikita natin na document talaga. But, meron tayo sa bawat era, sa bawat generation, halimbawa, year 100. Meron bang mga churches na for Christ? Yes. Na hindi sumama sa kaguluhan ng churches ng Rome? Yes, absolutely. 313 nataguyod yung church ng Rome from the Edict of Milan by Emperor Constantine. Meron bang mga churches na hindi sumama sa edict ni Milan, the Edict of Milan by Constantine? O sa palagay ninyo, lahat ng mga Kristiyano nagmasaya? Yay! Legal na tayo. Yay! Pwede na tayong mag-occupa ng mga governmental offices. Lahat sa palagay mo ng church sumang-ayon sa Roma? No! Yung mga churches na hindi sumang-ayon sa Roma, they are independent biblical Baptist churches. Yung mga sumama sa Roma, yun naging Roman Catholic Baptist churches. So, tandaan ninyo, kung merong manlilinlang na church or false church, saan nang galing yung false church? Saan sa palagay nyo nang galing yung false church? Ha? Ay, sumulpot na lang. Bigla na lang tayo nagkaroon ng false church. Saan nang galing yung false church? Ha? Sa true church. So, ibig sabihin, may church na tinaguyod si Kristo na tumiwalag. Is that clear? Is that right? Okay. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Pwede ba na yung false manggaling sa true? Pwede yon, di ba? Pero pwede ba yung true manggaling sa false? Hindi pwede na yung true lalabas sa false. Lalabas kami sa false. Kami ang true church. No. Never na lumalabas ang truth sa false. Hindi ganun ang buhay. So, yung unang church na tinaguyod ni Kristo, is that a Biblical Baptist Church or a Catholic Baptist Church or a Catholic Church? Biblical Baptist Church yon. Oh, kung hindi sila nagpatuloy, halimbawa, tumiwalag sila, anong naging church yon? Oh, that became a Baptist Catholic Church. Nanggaling yung false sa true. Always nanggagaling yung false sa true. Pwedeng manggaling yung truth sa true, pwede rin manggaling yung false sa true. Pero hindi pwedeng lumabas sa false yung true. Kaya lahat ng mga anak ng Catholic Church, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, etc., 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 hindi sila true. Na meron silang portions of truth. Ha? Marami kang matututunan sa Lutheran Church. They have portions of truth. May portions of truth ang Presbyterian. May portions of truth ang Reformed. May portions of truth naman ang mga anak ni Catholic Church. May truth naman sa Catholic Church. Believe it or not, may truth doon. No? The Catholic Church believes in the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Naniniwala sila sa Trinity. That is true. Ang problema, hindi sila naniniwala na ang sacrifice ni Jesus Christ ay once and for all final, finished, complete, and capable of saving to the uttermost. Yun ang problema, na mas talagang mas malaking problema. Men are saved by works and grace. That is the false gospel. Man is saved by good works and grace. That's false. Okay? Now, that is true in ecclesiology, in church history. Eh, hindi lang church ang nagtataguyod ng truth. Saan pa natin makikita ang truth? Bukod sa church. Where else do we find truth? Yeah, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. But it is not truth in and of itself. So merong truth na tinatayo ang church. Ano yung truth na tinatayo ng church? The Word of God. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Lahat ba na nagsasabing Word of God is truth? Pag nakasulat sa Bible, Holy Bible, is that true? Hindi lahat ng Bible, Holy Bible, ay totoo. Katulad ng Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, Presbyterian Church, meron mga Bibles na kulang at may nagdadagdag. If there are corrupt churches, there are corrupt scriptures. Kaya, pag-aralan ninyo yung scriptures para alamin ninyo kung ano yung scripture na walang dagdag, walang bawas. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sino una nag-preach ng repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Where did Jesus find that message? I wonder who he was a disciple of. Yes, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the first to preach, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was tasked by God to prepare a people for the Lord, to use, to assemble, to create His church. And the first requirement is repentance. Repentance. So today, I'm just dumbfounded today. Even today, there are so many preachers who are confused about repentance. There's one, he said, what am I supposed to repent of? Tapos yung sumagot, sabi niya, don't turn from sin. I'm not teaching you to turn from your sin. That is confusion. Tandaan ninyo, ang repentance may dalawang objects. There's always two objects of repentance. One of them you need to repent of. The other one you need to repent to. So there's two objects of repentance. Repentance always involves God and sin. God and sin. What am I to repent of? Well, duh, you're to repent of sin. Now, the recent publication ng isa sabi, what am I repenting of? Ang gulo. Ang dami, ang haba ng sagot. Hindi naman. Look, you repent of sin. Hello? You repent of sin. Let me ask you a question. Matthew. What sin was Matthew involved in? Cheating. Ah, nagdadagdag siya ng buwis. He's a cheater. Did he repent? What did he repent of? He repented of his sin. And then he was baptized by John the Baptist. Kaya nung dumating si Jesus Christ, he was an honest tax collector. By the time Jesus saw him. Kaya nung nakita siya ni Jesus, honest tax collector, disipulo pa yan ni John the Baptist, na-baptize na pala ito, Matthew, follow me. Iba na ang trabaho mo, Matthew. Iwanan mo na yan. I want you to become a disciple, to become an apostle. Anong ginawa ni Matthew? He left, he forsook all, and he followed Christ. So, his first message, his first preaching is repentance. Kaya mahilig si Satanas manggulo ng message. At nawa, never na maging magulo ang message ng repentance sa atin. Never na mawala sa labi natin na tawagin ang tao na magsisi. They need to repent. People need to repent. Repent of what? Sin. Repent unto who? God. Marami nagrepent ng sin pero hindi pumunta sa Diyos. Isa doon si Judas. Judas repented of his sin. He was sorry that he betrayed Jesus. Anong problema ni Judas? He did not turn his heart to God. He wallowed in sorrow and despair And he did not repent godly repentance unto salvation. He repented worldly sorrow unto death. So, kulang yung repent of sin. Kailangan repent unto God. So, pero hindi ka magre-repent sa Diyos kung hindi mo pa alam kung ano ang sin at kung paano bumaling sa kasalanan. Tanungin mo lahat ng nagsisi sa mundo, alam nila ang pinagsisihan nila. Alam natin kung anong pinagsisihan ni Matthew. Alam natin kung anong pinagsisihan ni Judas. Pero kulang ang pagsisisi kung hindi ka sasampalataya sa Diyos. So, is a person saved by repentance only? No. Is a person saved by faith only? No. Kailangan repent and believe. Eh, may mga verses sa Bible, believe lang, ng believe, ng believe. Pero pansinin mo yung nagbe-believe, nakaluhod, nagmamakaawa, nandun na yung repentance. Hindi mo na sasabihin sa taong nagsisisi, magsisi ka. Kasi nagsisisi na nga eh. Oh, halimbawa, Act 16, yung Philippian jailer, lumuhod siya. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? O, di nagtatanong na nga eh. Nagsisi na yan. Alam ang sabi ni Paul, magsisi ka! Ay, no. Halos magpakamatay na nga yung sergeant, di ba? Yung jailer. O, di nagsisi siya. Kaya, hindi mo na sasabihin sa tao, nagsisisi, magsisi ka. Nagsisisi na nga eh. So, anong ipapakita mo sa kanya? Sumampalataya ka na kay Kristo. Dahil nandun na sa kanya yung pagsisisi. Dito tayo nagiging magulo. And this is the very first message of Jesus. This is the message of the Bible. The Bible's message is repent. Basahin mo from Genesis all the way to Malachi. The prophets, the men of God, they called a wicked world to turn from sin to the Savior. That's the message of the Bible. And may it never change. If you witness to somebody, tell them to repent of sin. Now, hindi ibig sabihin ng repent of sin, hindi na ako magkakasala magpakailanman. Kabubuohan yun. That is not repentance unto salvation. That is reformation of behavior. Hindi rin nakakaligtas yun. Yung point ng repentance ay yung heart. Turn. A turning of the heart. It's not just the change of mind. Alam ko, mahilig yung mga etymology. Metaneo, change of mind. That is etymological. Pero ang word, hindi lang etymological. Merong philological ang word. Ibig sabihin yung paggamit niya. Ha? May word origin, may word usage. Pag sinama mo yung dalawa, dun mo makikita, a turning pala ito ng will, ng heart. Yes, kasama doon yung mind. Kaya hindi mo pwedeng i-bypass ang mind. Kailangan inform mo talaga yung tao. Pagkatapos na ma-inform mo siya, yung heart niya ang magde-decide. Tatanggapin ko ba itong message na ito? O i-re-reject ko yung message na ito? And so on. And so you see, Jesus, like John the Baptist, called people to repentance. So if we want to maintain our biblical Baptist heritage, the message must not change even today. And when men are confused about what am I going to repent of, and you give 4 or 5 pages of answer, ang simple talaga ng answer eh. You repent of sin. Hello? And you repent unto the Lord. So, Jesus preached repentance. And that's 4:17.
Chapter 4, verse 17. Sabi niya sa 4:17.
4:17. Tingnan mo ang 4:23.
Look at 4:23.
Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness. So, nakita na natin nag-preach si Jesus Christ from chapter 4. He started preaching. Nakita natin nag-teach si Jesus Christ from chapter 5, 6, and 7. That is His teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. And now in chapter 8, makikita natin yung healing. And so you have that in 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, Galilee, Galilee. Earliest church is not Jerusalem. So yung mga nagtuturo, the first church is the church in Jerusalem. No! The majority of Jesus' ministry, 3.5 years ministry, is revolving around Galilee. Is that clear? Oh, get that. Get that in your cranium. Church at Galilee. Nung nagbigay siya ng Great Commission, what church did He give the Great Commission to? Hulaan niyo. The church in Jerusalem? No. Go to Matthew 28. See, I don't know who started teaching these things and confusing people. I know in Bible college, they taught me wrong. I'm not faulting them. They did their best, and they're an excellent Bible college. But people make mistakes. And if you don't read the Bible for yourself, you'll be so confused. So look at what the Bible says. Look at Matthew 28, verse 16. And the 11 disciples went away into... Okay. So, what church did Jesus give the Great Commission to? Alright, let's go back to Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching and healing all manner of sickness. So in chapter 8, now we're beginning in chapter 8. Nasa chapter 8 na tayo. Makikita natin dito yung healing ministry ni Jesus Christ. And so, now you'll see the big picture here. So Jesus heals 4 times in Matthew chapter 8, from verse number 1 hanggang verse number 17. So tingnan natin yung healing ministry ni Jesus Christ. Now, number 1, bakit siya nag-heal? Why did Jesus heal? What was the purpose of healing? Is it because He had malasakit, compassion in His heart towards someone else? May malasakit ba si Jesus Christ para sa iba? Kung bakit siya nag-heal? Yes. Pero yun ba yung purpose? Dahil talagang nangailangan yung tao? Ano ang purpose ng healing ni Jesus? What is the purpose of His healing? To demonstrate that He is the Messiah. Meron ba kayong nakilala na marunong mag-heal na katulad ni Jesus? Wala. Ang daming fake. Even today, there's so many fake. Fake! Si Jesus Christ, pag napugutan ka ng tenga, na separate yung tenga mo sa mukha mo, pwedeng ibalik ni Jesus Christ yan na walang surgery, na walang, pwede lang niyang ibalik yun. Eh, yung mga manghihilot today, ha? Halika. Halika, may tawas. May kandila. Ay, nakatapak ka ng kapre. Oh, whatever. Oh, daming kuskus balungos. Pilay pa, hindi pa makalakad. Nag-alay ka ng manok. KFC. 10 pieces. Extra spicy. Hingi ka ng tawad. Pilay pa rin. Ang labo ng tao today. There are many false prophets today. They say, we have a healing ministry. No. Ang dahilan ng healing ay para mapatunayan na si Jesus Christ ang Messiah. Yung power na ginamit ni Jesus ay yung power na makikita natin pagbalik niya at sa paghahari niya sa millennial kingdom. He will be demonstrating His healing power all over again. And so, Matthew chapter 8 verse 1. Tingnan natin ang Matthew chapter 8 verse 1. When He was come down from the mountain, after speaking, preaching, and teaching, chapters 5, 6, and 7, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper. So, nauna yung leper. Ano yung leper sa Tagalog? May ketong. Ketongin. And worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Alam nitong leper na ito na siya ang Messiah. Na walang imposible sa kanya. Na sa kanya, siya ang manghihilot ng kingdom of God. Kaya lumapit siya kay Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and who? And who?
Jesus.
Oh, sa modernong salin, tinanggal yung pangalang Jesus. Ate Caroline. Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, pakibasa. Okay. Iniunat niya ang kanyang kamay. Yan ba yung nakasulat?
No.
Wala na yung Jesus. Tinanggal. FYI, yung NIV, tinanggal yung pangalan ni Jesus Christ 36 times. Yung New American Standard Version, 73 times tinanggal. Okay? So, if you're not using a King James Bible, you have less names of Jesus. Now, sino sa buong daigdig ang gustong mag-alis ng pangalan ni Jesus? Sa palagay ninyo, meron bang puwersa o tao o peligro na gustong mag-alis ng pangalan Jesus sa Bible natin? Sino yon? Is it fair to say na yung Bible, pag hindi siya King James Bible, influence na ng devil yun?
Yes.
Modern translations are influenced by the devil who hates the name of Jesus. And that's why they remove His name. They remove His name in verse 3. They remove His name in verse 5. Tingnan mo yung verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, Ate Caroline, verse 5, anong sabi ng verse 5? Oh, pagpasok nino.
Yeah.
Verse 7. And Jesus saith unto him, Ate Caroline. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, let me return to the text. The text says, and Jesus put forth His hand, verse 3, and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Ha? Walang show. Walang, alika dito, alika. Makinig kayo lahat, makinig kayo sa akin. Alika dito, alika. Meron ka bang faith? Ha? Malaki ba yung faith mo? Maliit. Ha? Kaya mo? Sige. No show. Immediately his leprosy left. Now, look at what Jesus said, verse 4. And Jesus saith unto him, yan, inokay naman yan ng modernong salin. Linagay yung pangalan niya dyan. So, hooray. One hooray sa critical text. Yay. And Jesus saith unto him, see that thou tell no man, wag mong sabihin, na hinilot kita, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Yung sinusunod dito ni Jesus Christ, yung batas na ceremonial law base sa Leviticus na kailangan magpakita ka sa priest para ma-confirm na ikaw ay malinis. So dito, hindi binali ni Jesus Christ yung batas ni Moses. He does not break the law. He fulfills the law. He establishes the law. Na kung bakit niya hindi sinabi, huwag mong sabihin sa iba. Kasi kapag kinalat niya yung balita, siguradong pupuntahan siya ng mga tao at gagawin siyang Messiah before ma-crucify siya. Hindi pa niya oras. Verse 5. And when Jesus, we know who He is, hindi niya, ha, niya. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came at him a centurion. Okay? So, isang centurion nangangalaga ng 100 soldiers. Beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Palsy, ibig sabihin, paralysis. Di mga kilos. Grievously tormented. And Jesus, hindi niya, ha, niya. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and unto another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So, sabi ng centurion, Lord, kahit na nandito ka na, kahit na hindi ka na pumunta doon, sabihin mo lang na mahilot yung servant ko, makakilos na siya. Kasi ako rin, katulad mo, I man of authority. So, kinikilala ng centurion yung authority ni Jesus bilang Messiah. Kahit na hindi mo siya hawakan, kahit na magsalita ka lang, Lord, kaya lang niyang kumilos. He had faith that Jesus is the Messiah. He understood authority, something we need to understand. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So, nanggaling yung great faith sa Gentile, sa centurion, Roman centurion, ha? Gentile yun. Kung siya, great yung faith niya, nasaan ang faith ng Israel? Kayo pa naman ang nation na hinirang ng Diyos. Nasaan yung faith niyo? So you see, Jesus is marveling at this. In verse 11, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west. Ayan, yung mga Gentiles yun. And shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. By the way, the kingdom of heaven, yung term kingdom of heaven ay unique sa book of Matthew. 32 times binanggit yung kingdom of heaven sa buong Biblia. Lahat galing sa book of Matthew. So saan nakuha ni Matthew yung kingdom of heaven? Where did Matthew get the word kingdom of heaven, meaning the millennial kingdom? Base yan sa Daniel chapter 2. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. There you had it. The God of heaven sets a kingdom. That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. Now, yung kingdom of God, malawak yun. That is the realm of soteriology. Salvation. And a portion of that is regeneration. That's the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, regenerated, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Pero yung kingdom of heaven, local, physical, visible. That's the aspect of the kingdom of God na literal na makikita mo. Entrance into the kingdom is by the righteousness provided by Christ. Gaya ng sinabi niya sa Matthew chapter 5. So yes, hindi ka makakapasok sa kingdom of heaven kung hindi ka saved. You have to repent, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the kingdom of heaven. And sabi niya, many from the east and west shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So, welcome ba yung mga Gentiles sa kingdom of heaven? Welcome kung sila ay mag-repent and believe. E paano yung mga Jews, yung mga Hudyo? Welcome din sila? Yes, kung sila ay mag-repent and believe. Verse 12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Itong children of the kingdom, yan yung mga Hudyo, pero hindi saved. The kingdom of the children shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Bakit sila sinuka? Kasi hindi sila nag-repent and believe. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it be unto thee. And his servant was healed the same hour. Nobody has that kind of power. Only the Messiah has that power. And last, yung dalawa pang healings. Verse 14, Jesus came into Peter's house. Ito naman sa bahay ni Peter. And he saw his wife's mother. Peter had a wife. Is that correct? Hmm. So siya ba ang unang papa ng Roma? Hindi siya pwede maging papa kasi requirement nila, celibate. Celibacy is a requirement for the priesthood. Peter was married. He had a wife. He even had a mother-in-law. I mean, he also had a mother-in-law. His wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. So, that's the third healing. Last healing, verse 16, And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. So, more healings, and he had power over those that were possessed by devils. Now, why is this happening? Verse 17 tells us why. That it might be fulfilled. Oh, yung pala. Balik ka naman pala tayo sa thesis ni Matthew. Matthew says he fulfilled. Naalala ninyo yung mga fulfillments ni Matthew na nakaraan? Hmm? Look at Matthew chapter 1. Verse number, let's see here, chapter 1, verse 12. I know, chapter 1, verse, 21. Ano ba yan? 22. Matthew 1, 22. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child. So, that would be Isaiah. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. And there were, and was there until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. That's out of Hosea. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. So that's in Jeremiah. Chapter 2, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, that he shall be called a Nazarene. Chapter 4, verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. Chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I send to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Chapter 8, verse 17. So, nandun na tayo sa 8, 17. So, 7 times binanggit ni Matthew from chapter 1 to chapter 8. 7 times fulfilled, 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 Old Testament fulfilled, Old Testament fulfilled. He's gonna say it 16 times total sa book of Matthew. So, isa sa mga tema ng book of Matthew is the fulfilled scriptures. So, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet. Sino si Esaias? Si Isaiah. Bakit ay Esaias? Anong lingwahe ang Esaias? Greek. Ano sa Hebrew yung Esaias? Isaiah sa Hebrew. Okay. So, alright. So, sinulat ni Matthew ito sa Greek base sa Hebrew. Translate ni Matthew. Tapos, translate pa ng translator sa English. Oh, may mga Bible na sasabing Isaiah. Oh, tama ba yun o mali? Tama, in context, pero yung word, Isaiah sa Greek. Dapat, Isaiah ang lalabas sa English. Dahil hindi tayo editors ng salita ng Diyos. We are simply translating what is there. Ngayon, kapag ikaw nagbabasa ka ng Bible, nakita mo Isaias, kung nagbabasa ka ng matino, sasabihin mo ganito, bakit ganun? Sino itong Isaias? Maghanap nga ako ng dictionary, lexicon, pag-aralan ko nga ito,
Sinong Isaiah? At pag natuklasan mo, ah, ito pala si Isaiah. Bakit hindi nalang sinabi Isaiah? Pinahirapan pa kami. Hirap ng King James. Kaya nga, modernong salin na lang kasi ang hirap.
You eliminate further study and context of the culture. So may culture pala ang Bible na kailangan pala nating alamin, pag-aralan, saliksikin. Question, Brother Ronel. He is a aeronautic teacher, no? Social studies in university. Yung mga pinag-aaralan yung textbook, are they easy? Or are they medyo complex? Ano sa palagay mo? Easy or complex? Complex. Meron bang mga specialized languages na talagang pang-angkop lang para dun sa class na yon? O napaka-easy kahit sino pwedeng ma-understand? Ano sa palagay mo, Brother Aronel? Is there specialized language? Ha? Huh? Walang bang technical terms doon? Meron, di ba? It has to be technical. Otherwise, hindi special. Hindi specialized. Oh. Kaya wag niyong sabihin, gawin na lang simple lang Bible. Hindi buhay yon. That's not life. That is not life. So si Ate Jenica. Si Jenica, you are an expert in Tagalog English. Ay, you are an expert. Huwag mong ganyanin. Okay. Sa pag-aaral mo, did you come across textbooks that are specialized? Oh. Nag-request ka ba sa DepEd? Ay! Ibaba nga ninyo ito para maulang mag-gets ko. No, di ba? No. Anong ginawa mo? Pinagsikapan mo, pinaghirapan mo para hindi lang malaman mo, ma-overcome mo yung mga hindrances. Kaya ngayon, yung skill mo, mahasap. Expert yan sa Tagalog English. Yes! Huwag kang mag-no. Hindi ka pwede magtrabaho ng ganon. Na? Nakakita na ba kayo ng doktor? Dok, anong problema ko? Ang problema mo kasi, yung bronchial tubes mo, may ganito, ganyan. Oh. Eh, Dok, anong bronchial tubes? Yung baga mo. Ba't di mo na lang sabihin baga? Kung ganon, hindi na siya expert. Hindi na siya doktor. Merong alam yung mga yan. Eh, sa law, may law books ba na specialized? Meron na wala? Sa school, meron ba wala? Oh, sa trabaho, meron ba wala? Sa lahat ng aspeto ng buhay, may expert, specialized culture, and language. Tapos tayo, tameme, sa Bible, sa pagpapastor, sige na lang, ibaba na lang natin yung education level ng pastor. Kasi sila, bobo. Pastor lang yan. Hindi marunong yan sa Greek and Hebrew, Aramaic, walang alam. It's a sin against God. Listen to me. God gave us His Word. Don't change it. Don't mess with the Word of God. Yan yung tinanggal yung Jesus, niya. Tatlong beses. Verse 3, verse 5, verse 7. Niya. That is a violation. Pag translate yung Isaiah ng Isaiah, that is laziness. Meron mga Bibles, si Timotheus, hindi na Timotheus, Timothy na lang. Pero yung Greek Timotheus, hindi. Parang mas easy. Bahala ka. Anong gusto mo sa lipunan mo? And by the way, sa modernong salin, maraming mga words ang kailangan mo ng dictionary pa rin. Wala tayong time. Sana nagdala nga ako ng ESV, NIV, para ipakita ko sa inyo kung saan yung mga mallow. Ano yung mallow na yan? Job chapter 6, verse 6. Basahin mo yung Job 6:6 ng anumang salin. Juice of the mallow. Pag nabasa mo yun, sasabihin mo, mallow.
Kailangan natin ng dictionary. Modernong salin na yun, ha? Pero sa King James, white of an egg. White of an egg. Meron bang hindi nakakalam kung anong white of an egg? Alam ba ninyo kung ano yung white of the egg? King James yon. Mas easy yon. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words. We ask God that we would really celebrate the coming of the Messiah, because when he came, he healed all different kinds of sickness, all different kinds of disease, and all different kinds of devil possessions. And we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our hearts by faith. We don't have to wait for the millennial kingdom. The kingdom is within us, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We just need to be right with our Lord. So I pray your hand of blessing upon this message. Help us to appreciate your words. Help us to walk in fear and to know the presence of the Lord, who is our healer and who is our teacher and preacher. And Lord, help us to incorporate these truths in our lives. Help us to walk in your fear and serve you with gladness of heart, sincerity of spirit, Lord. And we ask that you bless our time now in Jesus' name. Habang nakayuko ang ulo nakapagpapalit.